You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
You know, I don't think we gave Nick Nurse a hard enough time yesterday on that.
And on Guitar Guy?
Yeah, we kind of let him off the hook. Like, we threw him a bone and we said, you know, you said you'd come in studio with the guitar if you ever won a title. And then he pretended like the connection was going off.
Do you think in his mind, and now it doesn't matter in hindsight, but do you think in his mind he was like, yeah, I can promise that because we're not winning?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think he'd ever admit that he didn't think they were going to win. I think it was more like, yeah, I'll say yes, but I'm never coming
in. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. But I...
Like, what are we going to do? Sue Nick Nurse?
Right, we didn't know. Like, going into that finals scenario, where when he said that to us, yeah, you know what, I'll come in and play and whatever, we still thought Golden State... I mean, Golden State was a heavy favorite. We thought KD was coming back. Like, there were many scenarios where it's like they were walking in and...
We got to look up the date because I think it was well before the final. It was well before the final.
So it was maybe
May 14th. It was against, like, Philly or against Milwaukee.
So it was one of those two series.
Yeah, because it was more... Like, it wasn't you're on the verge here. It's like you still have a long ride to go.
Right.
We just saw the picture you got off... I think they were flying to Milwaukee and he brought...
So he had a long road. Like basically,
he had 8 more wins.
So in his mind, he's like, yeah, if I win it, I'll do whatever you want type of thing.
Right, exactly.
He's like, no way.
Yeah, he's
not like, I'm a champion. I don't need to do whatever I want.
Well, he did say that he never plays with company.
Right.
Which I appreciate. Because usually Guitar Guy can't wait to play his guitar in front of everybody else. Can't wait to break out into Wonderwall the second someone walks into
Wonderwall
the room.
Wonderwall is actually a pretty good... That gets people going. What is the song that gets people going at a campfire?
I think Wonderwall is one of those songs where everyone knows...
No, your body... If you get a guitar and your like body is a wonderland...
John Mayer? No, no.
John Mayer's...
Dude.
Okay, but if you're...
There.
Yeah, but if you're a
it's
guy... If you're that a guy sitting at...
is triple gin and tonic, what I call. Because you know what that is.
Yeah, but my point is, if you're a guy sitting at a campfire and your body is a wonderland comes on,
well,
you're not fired.
It's not exactly like Wonderwall's Motley Crue.
No,
you know it's not girls.
Just that song that
everyone knows. Everyone knows how it starts.
Yeah,
you know everyone can sing along to an extent, and then they'll slowly start to trail off.
I think it's Hotel California. I think it's Brown Eyed Girl.
No.
Brown Eyed Girl. I hadn't thought of Van the Man.
Yeah. Brown Eyed Girl, I think.
No, your body is a wonderland.
Yeah, but are you singing along, though? That's the thing. I'm saying at a campfire, what gets everyone going? Not just the women excited. I'm talking everyone fired
like
up.
Like full-blown karaoke.
Yes, exactly.
Men and women, everyone's like, this
is awesome. I thought you were talking about what gets the deal done.
No.
The body is a wonderland. If you fire up a guitar...
With a strong eye contact... presence.
Yeah.
That's where creepy. it's bordering on creepy.
Yeah.
You're like if the guy's playing the guitar.
If you fired up that song with the guitar.
And you're staring into the soul of a woman.
I would be like, I'm in for overdrive. By the way, you're sick, aren't you? I could tell.
No.
And you got me sick because I know that at the day after that parade, you were snorting and sneezing. And I was like, this guy should not be here. And look what you did to me.
I fight through it, man.
I'm not. Because I honestly feel like I have the worst disease of all time. I've never experienced a head sick. My head feels like it's going to pop off.
Head sickness?
I don't know what
sickness.
It is.
I've got Advil cold and sinus here. That battles through everything.
And by the way, oh yeah, really?
Yeah.
I'm never sick. And I saw you snorting and like sneezing and like you're talking.
Well, I'm not right in your face. I mean, I got my own.
Dude, I work beside you. I told you don't come in if you're like that. And you know what? Now I'm sick.
Well, that's your problem, man. What do you want
every day I take like a 20-minute nap before I come into work. I get re-energized. Yesterday, I slept for 2 hours. I woke up. It's 4 o'clock. I'm like, I guess I'm not coming to work.
Well, I mean,
Have you ever heard of an alarm clock?
No, I'm not doing it.
Why would you bring that up? What kind of response were you expecting? Like, why would you set an alarm?
I take a nap like he's a senior.
I do every day
like he's
at 2:40.
I don't know how you do that. That's so dangerous. You're living dangerously over there, man. Yeah.
You take a nap with
and
no
tomorrow's
alarm
supposed
alarm.
To be my personal day, and now this guy here, Keith, and like Steph and Jeff, they're like, oh, well, you're not feeling well, so you took your personal day Wednesday. Guess what?
Well, you did take a personal day, technically.
No, it's tomorrow. This is my personal. I'm not feeling well.
But you're already calling your shot then.
That's exactly right. I'm not asking for permission. I'm like an Italian. You do your business and then you ask for forgiveness. I'm not doing that. I'm sick. And I deserve the Masterton because I honestly, my head feels like it's going to pop off. And it's because of you. And I know it because you're breathing over here and I spit when I talk. You do too.
We all do.
I got it and now I'm sick.
It's all right.
Well, that's a shame.
The Masterton is...
You know what? It's at least make a big trade. I'll drive from Collingwood to here. But other
no,
than
don't
that,
bother, man. Don't even bother.
Collingwood.
If you're out, you're out.
Okay, I'm out.
I don't care.
How can you drive 2 hours with that flu ravaging through your body?
Yeah, that's true.
You might just have to... Maybe you have to get a
helicopter to fly you up there.
Oh, really? Like the guy with the dump in his pants in the parade?
That's essentially what you're... Those are the symptoms
you're... So a guy's going to go to Collingwood and drop down the orange...
The orange helicopter, the
gurney. No, the orange, the safety thing.
Where you lay in.
The stretcher.
Yeah. Stretcher.
Drop down the stretcher.
That's right.
And bring me to Collingwood.
I don't know if the Leafs are going to make a big trade tomorrow, but it certainly, Dregs is really wanting to mess with.
He's spicing things up on Twitter again. You see this tweet by Dregger?
Yeah.
Let me find it here. Yeah. Unless you have it, let's go ahead and read it.
It's like Leafs are in business.
Well, yeah, he kind of just...
I love this. Okay, let me read this out, all right? Okay. So Darren Dreger tweeted this out, our hockey insider. Dregs is in Vancouver. Everyone's in Vancouver. The whole hockey world is in Vancouver.
And this was 2 hours ago. This wasn't like this morning.
2 hours ago, Toronto Maple Leafs. You know it's the real deal when it's the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Not just Leafs.
Not Leafs or whatever.
Not Maple Leafs.
Toronto Maple Leafs. Bracing for activity. Telling teams they will listen on Kapanen and Kadri. Would need a defenseman back in a Kapanen trade and a center back for Kadri. Strong sense Connor Brown could go as well. So strap yourself in here.
Is that okay? So we're on the, you know, Bobby Mack puts out stuff, Dregs puts out stuff. Our insiders are the best in the business. Anything to do with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's kind of considered a Woj bomb. Is that what you call it? Woj?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know how I would compare it to the NBA, but it's going to go
that
viral.
Out there. Yeah, Woj put that out there 5 minutes after the Raptors won, and Twitter almost shut down.
Yeah, I mean, this is the Maple Leafs or the Lakers or
right,
the Knicks. You know, when Wojnarowski tweets out, hey, Memphis, I'm hearing the Memphis Grizzlies are really interested in something, he'll get a couple retweets and a couple of likes. But if he writes, hey, the Lakers are really pursuing something, and that's essentially what's going on here. Like when Dregs throws this out, and he's obviously got a lot of sources that are indicating that that's exactly what's going on, it says a couple of things to me. One, they're acknowledging they're in big cap trouble. Like they really are. And it's not a good look considering they have won nothing. And they're probably in a position where they have to dump quality players for cheaper players.
Right.
Not for better players, for cheaper players. Because very rarely do you get better when you go cheaper. So, yes.
Well, no kidding. It doesn't like this. It
doesn't usually work that way.
No, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't add up. So, if and it's not that all of them are going.
No.
But if Kadri, Kapanen, Brown.
Combination of something.
A combination, you're taking away talent, and you're probably going to replace it on the cheap.
No, yeah. You're taking
you're
away
be a worse
depth.
Team and that's depth. Weird. Yeah, that's what you're doing. If
you're
going to
have three guys making $11 million, if Marner gets what he wants, and then
yeah, you're
what are you going to have?
Yeah, well, you are going to fill out your roster. Nylander's already locked in. He's playing. You know, Marner has to get his deal done, but he's playing. Matthews, the face of EA Sports, we got to get to that. His suit, we got to get into some of the fashion and stuff last night, too.
If you want fashion, wait till you see the NBA draft tonight.
Oh, yeah, that'll
you
be
should
fun.
Have seen
those
it.
Fellas.
Oh, man, do they dress. Yeah. RJ Barrett's got a pink suit
I love
going
it.
Tonight.
I love it. So, anyway. But you're you know, they've got some top-end players. You're right. It's filling it out. You know, Trevor Moore is going to probably have to play a bigger role. What are they doing with Patrick Marleau? Like, a lot of these questions, to me, it doesn't surprise me. Like, Dreg's put that out there. It doesn't surprise me if they've been listening on players for a while. You have to. It doesn't mean that you're going to trade them, but I think what they're trying to do is create scenario A, B, C, D. Okay, if this happens, if Marner ends up getting this and Kapanen gets it, we may have to throw this play. What they're trying to do is get ahead of every different scenario so that nothing shocks them. And that's right, and it's in, to me, it's a proactive manager. Unfortunately, in this market, and you get insiders because Dreg's probably didn't get that out of Maple Leafs front office. He gets that from another manager going, yeah.
Other teams are saying, I'm telling you, these guys are
telling you,
they're
just
calling on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think it probably says something about what Kapanen is looking for. I think it definitely says something about the Mitch Marner negotiations.
Correct.
I think Kyle Dubas, this is a rude awakening. You're paying him.
Yeah.
If you want this done soon,
or
you're
dealing him. Like, if you want to say, I'm giving him what he wants, and then I have to trade four other guys on my team, you're capitulating.
Right,
so
but
pick your poison. What do you want to do? You want to pay him, or do you want to get rid of four other guys?
Well, we'll see.
That's probably what they're really dealing with, though. I mean, that's the truth. Because if you're going to pay him $10.5 million or $11 million,
right,
you only get a certain amount of money. And that's the problem that they've run into here. That's what has developed over the past 12 months.
And the cap not being $84 million. But it said, Dregs followed it up with a tweet after saying, there's a chance that the managers will find out what the cap is today. They may get a sneak peek of it. So if it comes back, like Bobby Mack was saying the other day, it could come back just shy of 82. Like, it could be under 82.
81.5.
So if it's 81.5, and they were expecting 83 and change.
And you can't get rid of Marleau, which maybe they can, but maybe they can't.
They have to now.
Well, I know.
Well,
but
that's where I will say this. The complexity of this whole conversation can take a sharp turn from they're shedding money to actually they're trying to change the way their team is built.
Right.
If Marleau goes, Zaitsev goes, even Connor Brown, then all of a sudden you might be trading Kadri, not because you have to, but because you want to.
Right.
But until they get rid of the money, you have to believe they're actually doing it because they feel like they have to shed money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
Marleau, Zaitsev, Brown come off the books and $13 million clears up.
Right.
I have to believe, and I think most people will, you're making these other deals featuring players you like because you can't afford them.
Because of the squeeze.
Because of the squeeze.
Yeah.
So that's the next chapter if the other stuff happens first.
Right.
And that would not necessarily be shocking considering the depth chart. The fact is, Nazem Kadri is always going to be a third-line center. Always on this team. He's never going higher if they're healthy. If Tavares and Matthews are healthy, he's never going higher.
Yeah.
So it's not shocking that a third-line center could be in play. He's not untouchable.
No.
And the same thing with Kapanen. If you go around the league and look at other third-line centermen, whether it be Kyle Turris, Nick Bonino, they make $6 million.
Yeah, I mean, I think Turris.
For everybody that thinks, oh, I got to get rid of that money at third line, this guy make, what is he, 4.5?
4.5 for three more.
But I think Turris was brought in as a 2. He may have ended up at 3.
Okay, what's Bonino make in Nashville? It's like, that's kind of Bozak's a $5 million guy.
I want to say he's at Kadri's money.
But Bozak was brought in as a third line centerman at $5 million. So for everybody thinks that, oh, it's like the money's, that's what a third line centerman makes. And he's underpaid.
Yes, well, I don't think it's ideal to move on from Kadri. I don't. Now, it's difficult to fully have this conversation without knowing what's coming back.
Right.
Because is it impossible to envision a deal that makes sense featuring him? Of course not.
No.
Of course there could be a deal where you're like, oh, yeah,
well,
I'll make that trade. I'll make that trade.
Well, people will listen.
Let me paint a picture
he's
for you.
He's got value.
Well.
He does. He's got a ton of value.
He's got value. Here's the other thing, though, too. And I'll bring it back to his playoff performances. Do you think that, on some level, within management's eyes, made him a little bit more expendable?
Yes. I don't see how it couldn't.
Right.
two dumb moves
back-to-back
in back-to-back years cost them significantly. Yeah. There's no other way, Dan. There's no other way around
yeah,
it.
And I'm, you know,
inexcusable 2 years in a row. Cost his team.
But that's if maybe they were on the fence before, maybe that pushes them slightly one way, going, you know, can't trust them at
critical
times.
In the back
of my mind,
I don't know if I can trust
them. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
that's human nature.
But it also may make other teams go, I want that player who plays with an edge. That's something that our team maybe doesn't have. He does have value. He's got cost certainty. He can play in a number two hole. I don't think he's a number one centerman. I think he's a two at best, but a good two and a guy who plays with some jam and a lot of drive. I still have always believed he's a 20-plus goal scorer. He had 2 years at 32, I think, but then he had, 16 this year? I think he can get 20 every year, no problem, and not worry about it.
Yep.
20-plus. He has value. And Kyle would be ridiculous. It doesn't mean he's trading him, but he would be ridiculous to not see what the marketplace is for Nazem Kadri, for Kasperi Kapanen. And believe me, it doesn't hurt to float those names too. If Kapanen's going, I want 5 years at $6 million, don't even call me until, all right, well, we're going to float your name too.
Right.
Like this is moving and shaking. And I think it's pretty exciting. I think it's nerve-wracking for a Leafs faithful, but...
Well, I think what makes a lot of Leaf fans nervous, or what would make me nervous, is I don't think Boston's shedding talent or depth. They might have to tinker a little bit to pay McAvoy and maybe tinker. Maybe they try to get Backus off the books.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're sitting here saying, Pastrnak's got to go on the market.
No.
You know, we can't.
No.
Tampa, the same thing. We talked about this earlier. Yeah. Maybe Callahan, but they're probably fine with getting Callahan off the books.
Yes.
It's not like, you know, Palat's on the market,
right,
or Yanni Gourde has to go.
Right.
Not happening.
Tampa seems like one of those teams, they keep everybody.
They do. Tampa's not going to shed significant pieces. Boston is not going to shed, and Montreal and Florida are going to add because they got money.
Yeah.
The only ones that are stepping back here based on talent, potentially, is Toronto.
Yeah. And
that's the reality. What we're dealing with until something changes in the next 3 weeks.
I was telling Brian off air, do you remember Anton Thun, the agent?
My old agent.
Okay, so near the end of the year, he was saying the Leafs could be the only team that has to shed salary that never won anything. I'm paraphrasing, but I think he said something like that. Like, have to have salary dumps, and that they haven't won a cup yet.
If Kapanen's got to go, Brown's got to go, Kadri's got to go.
Those are all moves that happen after you win multiple championships.
That's Dustin Byfuglien, Chris Versteeg, Dave Bolin, Andrew Ladd.
Another story behind that.
Yeah, but my point being, Chicago won.
Yeah.
They won, and then they said, these guys got to go.
Yeah.
Now, some of it was malpractice on their end, but a number of those guys, it was just...
Typically moves where it's like, these guys want to get paid because they won.
You can't keep them.
Right.
And they didn't win.
The Leafs have not won anything.
No.
Nothing.
They haven't won a round.
Yeah. Haven't won a round, let alone a cup.
Yeah.
Not a round.
But you know, you're trying to get there. And unfortunately, right now, it's weird. The landscape of the National Hockey League is so... I don't want to say it's upside down, because it may have been upside down when you and I were there, because guys at 31 were signing for what they did.
We signed Ron Francis at 35.
I know, but...
$5 million for a four-year deal.
But looking back at that...
He was 35. Now it would be like, enjoy your retirement, bud. We're not touching you.
But looking back at that, that's just as ridiculous. Like, here we're looking and saying, kids are having good seasons and getting 20 goals, $6 million a year.
Oh,
going, what the hell's that?
I know.
But you're getting paid for what you potentially are going to do. Now, back when we were playing, it was at 31, it was the lifetime achievement contract. So you're getting paid for what you've done. So CBA, I don't think it's any better or worse, but it has to be tinkered with. Or I do believe that in the next CBA negotiations, the owners may have to save themselves from each other. Like, make maximum contracts 5 years length. That way you're not handing out an eight-year deal. That way you're not handing out... What did Hayes get? Was it 8 or 7 the other day?
7. He got a 7.14 at
7. 7-7-1 unrestricted.
Well,
it's awful.
It's very rich, but...
Awful.
And they already have, like, Couturier. It's kind of like, why do you want... The Tatman always used to say, like, why do you want, like, duplicates? Like,
yeah.
Why did they have to pay that guy that much money?
I have chosen to do
they wanted
that.
Philly is now doing Philly things again.
Yeah. That is ridiculous,
paying that guy that much money. Ridiculous.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is it's kind of ass backwards, but that's the way the CBA is shaped right now. So now in Toronto, it's the same scenario. Austin Matthews gets 40. Here's 5 years. We're going to walk you to free agency and give you what you want.
Well, by the way, people, you talk about it a lot, Brian. The Matthews contract, 5 years. He's like Kawhi to me. If he wins a championship here, I don't care if he leaves. Go ahead and leave in 5 years. I don't care.
We'll come back and we'll let you hear what Brian Windhorst had to say on ESPN about Kawhi Leonard and what he thinks might end up happening. Because I do want to touch on that. Because I'm getting greedy. You know, we're always going to have the memories of this past season, but I say, why come
back? I want one more.
You got to come back. I'm not going to pretend like I won't be mad if he leaves.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yes, we can cherish the memories, but I'm still going to be rattled if he leaves. Well, I want this guy back.
If he leaves, there's no chance of them winning again next year.
And I'm not an NBA insider, but I kind of know rich people, and they're talking in the inside that he might do like some kind of short-term deal. And then it's like, I'm out of here.
Well, it could be, you know, because Lowry's got 1 year left. Ibaka's got 1 year left. Gasol.
Yeah. I don't care if he does a 1 year deal and opts out and goes somewhere else.
Right.
Go ahead.
Give us a couple of years. Give us a chance at a rebound.
One. I don't care.
Absolutely.
Just one so you said yes to Toronto.
All right. So we'll let you hear what Windhorst had to say about that. Jack Armstrong coming up. The NBA draft tonight. We'll tee that up. Ray from Vancouver ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. Bobby Mack later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so on June 29th, the Rolling Stones are taking over Burrells Creek Event Grounds. We're giving away a pair of tickets every day this week and next week on Overdrive. And just played the Stones, so we'll open up the phone lines at 416-870-1050. The fifth caller in. Caller 5 at 416-870-1050 picks up a pair of tickets to go see the Rolling Stones. Later this month, that is going to be a beautiful, beautiful event.
You going to make your way down there?
That's a one and done for me.
I don't think I'll make that, no.
No,
I've seen them many
once.
Times. I love them, but
no.
I'm not a festival guy personally.
Yeah.
That said, you know, I was at SARS Stock, and that's where I saw them for the first time, I believe. Maybe I saw them before that.
Festivals like the...
What? SARS?
SARS Stock. Remember, that's where Justin Timberlake had an incident.
Got remember, I was up at Downsview Park. There were like 500,000 people.
Got a shoe thrown at him, didn't he? What did Timberlake get thrown at him?
Someone threw a shoe. They were throwing bottles at him and everything.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, the guys here supporting the city. It was all about putting Toronto back on the map.
I mean, he gets
people
hit
throwing
with
shoes at
the Who throws a shoe?
Yeah, Austin Powers.
Honestly.
A grit grinder who loves the Stones.
I had a guy bail out of a golf trip because of SARS.
What do you mean?
Well, he didn't have it, I hope. He was worried about
like,
it.
Yeah, he's like, it was up in Muskoka, and he's like, I can't come up. There's SARS. I'm like...
Yeah, it was bad news, man. The whole world was focused on
Toronto. We were all
Toronto.
Up there waiting for him. He's like, I'm not coming. There's SARS. I'm like, there's no SARS up here.
Well, it was around. It was in the atmosphere. All right, you guys want to hear what Brian Windhorst had to say about Kawhi and his situation this morning on ESPN?
I believe that Kawhi will give the Knicks a look, but I think his decision is going to be staying with the Raptors, likely what I think is on a short deal, a 1+1 deal, which will let them roll it back. They can bring their whole team back. Or look at the L.A. Clippers, where he could invest in going forward.
That makes a lot of sense to me. That's what LeBron has done historically before he went to L.A. He always did those one-on-one deals where he could opt out after a year and put pressure on management.
Yeah.
And then reload with that much more money and more options. Kevin Durant has done it in the past. A lot of superstars have done that. It allows Kawhi Leonard to go back at it with the same band. Because Lowry, Ibaka, Gasol, they've all got 1 year left on their deal. Those are his guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's close with Kyle. He's close with Serge Ibaka.
Anything with a plus one to show the Raptors fans that he wants to come back.
Come back for one more year.
One more year
one
and
more
a plus
year.
One and do whatever you want just to say.
Because then you kill two birds with one stone. You finally win a title, which is what, like, the ultimate prize.
Right. You have a chance to win another title.
And a chance to win another title, but prior to going after it for the second time, you actually convinced a superstar to sign here.
Yeah.
A superstar. Not a star.
Everything gets wrapped up in one agreement.
Absolutely. Over the course of a 3 weeks, you get a title, which just destroys narratives.
Right.
And you sign a guy, which destroys another one.
Yeah.
And because the fact is, if he moves on, that inferiority complex that has existed here for a long time will come alive a little bit. It's been dead for the past week.
Right.
Been dead for a week.
It's like, oh, yeah, you like Toronto. You played 1 year, you won, but now you still want to leave.
Yeah, I just can't. You know, I don't want to be up here. No ESPN, customs, winter.
By the way, you can buy illegal, like, television things.
Those boxes.
I don't think Kawhi's too concerned about that. I do think he's concerned about people following him all over
the
city.
Was that actually a narrative, though? Like, people were like, we don't get ESPN.
Oh, yeah, that came up.
I think it's
get your iPad out.
It's
like I have
excuse.
To do.
It's an excuse.
It's absolutely.
I'm
an
more
excuse.
Concerned, like you said, Brian. He's a private guy, and he is
every day. There's a picture of him in Niagara Falls out for dinner. Someone sent me a pic today. He's at Home Depot or something. This guy can't escape paparazzi right now.
Yeah. What's he doing at Home Depot?
You're getting things done, man.
Yeah.
Getting things done.
He's painting.
Jack Armstrong is down at the NBA draft that takes place tonight. Here he is on Overdrive. What's happening, Jack?
I'm great. I'm back home in Brooklyn. I just had lunch with my mom and my Aunt Bridie. You know, and it's tradition, we went to a place called McMahon's, a little Irish pub for lunch.
Nice.
And no one ever goes, you know, it's like, I love Italian food. People never say, hey, let's go eat Irish, you know, but we actually ate Irish.
Scott, so what's the Irish menu? Like a couple wings and like two beers? Or is that like the menu or what?
Well, I have to behave myself. I'm on television later on, so the beers will be after I work tonight. But no, just it's pretty much basic stuff, but there's a lot of pints of Guinness going in the place. And my mom's 92, so she's not rolling like that. But we had a good lunch, so it's good to be home, and it's fun, and just another night of basketball never ends. But it could be a historic night in Canadian basketball history. I mean, there's potentially five guys that theoretically could be drafted in the first round. So I'm not sure if it'll happen. It all depends on the taste of the team's drafting, but I know one thing, there'll be at least three drafted, and theoretically there could be four or five.
Jack, we were just talking about the Kawhi situation. Do you have a gut feeling what might transpire with this situation? There's all kinds of options, and I think everybody in Toronto was thinking, God, if he just stayed one more year, even if it was just one, Brian just said it would take care of everything. He won the championship, and he still wanted to stay in Toronto. Do you have a gut feeling on what might happen?
I don't. I mean, to your point about the 1 year, I mean, you know, he could, you know, a lot of these guys, they sign shorter term deals with options, you know, just to protect themselves, or, you know, even a longer term deal with a few options. So, you know, that could be the case, whether it be here or anywhere else, you know. So I think if you're Kawhi Leonard, you're looking at specifically the Raptors and their roster. I mean, generally speaking, the core of their team will be together again next year. He and Danny Green are the unrestricted, you know, obviously if Kawhi opts out, which he will, you know, they'll be unrestricted guys. So, but if he decides to come back, who's to say that the Raptors don't bring a Danny Green back because they can exceed their own cap? So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But I think you see it a lot with guys where they'll sign a deal, but they have the option to opt out again, just to explore their options. And, you know, in a situation like Toronto, you know, he might want to revisit what the roster is going to look like, whether it be a year from now, 2 years, 3 years from now, whatever. I don't know. But I feel, and I've said this all along, I feel really good about the sales pitch that the Raptors have. I think it's compelling. I think he's lived it. He's seen it. He's experienced it. He's touched it. That, hey, man, you know, this is a great situation, and congratulations that you're a free agent, and you can explore other avenues, and that's fun. But, you know, we have the best scenario in place for you from a basketball perspective, your long-term health perspective, and obviously from a financial perspective in terms of security and you know, being able to provide him a lot more money than anyone else can provide. And if he wants a little flexibility in terms of opt-outs, I'm sure that's an open discussion that can be had. So, again, I just feel like the Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster, Nick Nurse, the coaching staff, the executives, the ownership, the support staff, you know, the medical staff, they've all done a fabulous job of presenting the absolute proverbial best foot forward. And I feel pretty confident about that. Does that swing him to stay? I have no clue. But if he leaves, it won't be because every stone was unturned, every I was dotted, every T was crossed.
Well, and the East, again, is changing as well. I mean, Boston, they're going way back. Like, unless they can sign a couple of the guys who they're not currently connected to, I think Kyrie Irving is out. Al Horford has opted out, and it sounds like he's gone. Chris Middleton has now opted out, but I think he's going to rework a deal in Milwaukee. But I don't know how much Milwaukee is really going to add.
What do you think about the league where guys just like opt out? It's like everyone's like, I'm opting out to go to my super team. Or
well, a lot of them opt out to make more money.
I kind of like it.
They opt out to make more money. That's
it
what
makes
Kawhi's
our
doing.
Job. It makes our job somewhat easy.
Way
we get
better.
To talk. About
I guess
this.
I'm like Carolina Hurricane this right now, where it's like the small. Like, everybody would opt out in Carolina, saying, well.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, Irving and Horford are opting out of the most winningest team in the history of the league. They're not leaving Memphis. Like, they're like, I'm leaving Boston. So it's not only about, hey, I'm leaving these donkey teams that can't do anything for me. Right. Like these.
I like it, Brian. The guys have options, but it seems like it's like, I'm out of here. Like the opt out shouldn't even be an option.
I think
opt out.
It keeps pressure on management. You know, that's what a lot of it is.
You're right about that. Because if you don't provide
on.
A good team, I'm out.
Right.
And Jeff and Jamie, you guys are obviously retired professional athletes, and you think, you know, this is the era of the empowered athlete who takes ownership of their career. They're an advocate for their own health and safety, and. You know, I think there's a lot of benefits to it from an athlete perspective. And you guys made a good point. It keeps everyone on their toes. And it's the best of both worlds. You could sign a long-term deal, and yet you have an opt-out or two in there that gives you the power to revisit and reboot things if need be. So, I think it's a good, healthy thing. And at the same time, players could opt out and the team could be like, thank goodness he left, you know? So it's a little bit of both, but with Boston, you're right. I mean, they were one of the major challenges this year, to the Raptors. And then you have Milwaukee and Philadelphia, and probably Indiana would have been that 15. Unfortunately, Oladipo got hurt, but, you know, I could really see right now if Kawhi Leonard comes back, and things play out in Philly and Boston like I think they will. I don't think Jimmy Butler will be around. Excuse me. Then I look at Toronto and Milwaukee as the two teams in the East that are really major league favorites. Now, unless something crazy happens here in Brooklyn or in New York with the Knicks, but even if Kyrie gets here, is he going to make the Nets a 55-60 win team? I think D'Angelo Russell's had a great year for them. Now, I think Kyrie Irving's a better player than D'Angelo Russell, but is he going to move the needle that much? You know, the other name that was in play was Kevin Durant. He's hurt. Even if he goes to the Knicks or Nets, he's not going to do anything next season.
Yeah. How is New York reacting to the idea of R.J. Barrett going third overall?
Well, I mean, they all had that sight set here for Zion, and so now I think it's more of a we're getting a B+, A- player rather than A+ guy. But who knows? RJ Barrett could end up being the better pro. Only time will tell. But there's a little sense of disappointment because they put all their eggs in the basket and they tanked like crazy to get there, and it didn't work out. And you have the people here in New York, they look down their nose at a place like New Orleans and Memphis that have the picks ahead of them. How dare they, right? And that's just the arrogance of Knick fans. But I'm happy about it. You know, I can't stand them. So I'm more than happy to see teams like the Knicks and Lakers. Anytime they have issues, I'm more than happy to see that because so much of what we see sometimes from how the league operates is so New York, L.A. centric.
Well, enjoy it down there, Jack. We'll catch you on sports tonight, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, my pleasure. Have a great night.
It's Jack Armstrong, live from Brooklyn, New York.
That's where he's from, Brooklyn?
Doesn't he sound like he's from Brooklyn?
I thought, like, I don't know, Rochester. I mean, I don't know.
No, that's a Brooklyn New Yorker guy.
That is New Yorker.
He is from Brooklyn. Yeah. He's got, like, four brothers.
Yeah, he's seen some bar fights and some street fights.
There's no way he doesn't have a relative that's a priest.
That's true.
Like, he's got a cousin that's a priest or something. Has to.
What does that mean? Like, how do you come up with that?
Just Irish Catholic in New York. Someone's a cop. Someone's definitely a cop. He's got a relative that's a cop. In New York.
Why don't we do a checklist for the next time we talk to Jack? Do you have a brother that's a cop? A relative that's a priest?
Yeah.
Bookie?
I don't know about bookie necessarily.
Well, okay, so
I don't know if he'd want to admit to that.
I think it's quite common knowledge, like the Hayes brothers, like Kevin Hayes, who just signed. He's from Boston, and his dad is like a famous
Whitey Bulger.
Was like tied to, I believe it was not gambling,
like racketeering or something.
Well, yeah, but legal. Like I'm not suggesting. Yeah, like I'm not suggesting like tickets. He would get tickets and stuff like that. But he's
that sounds kind of illegal.
That's somewhat illegal.
Not trying to paint a poor picture. I'm just saying.
What is loan sharking, by the way?
Nobody knows. I have no idea what that means.
Do you actually know?
I actually have no idea.
Associated with loan shark. What is
but
that?
If sounds, you need a loan and
it
you
sounds
don't, you
really
go,
bad.
If you can't go to the bank, you go see him, and at 18%, he'll find you the money.
So you
that's what it is.
You loan people the money with very high interest rates.
Exactly.
So it's always like, yeah, I'll give you that money, but you're paying 20% on the dollar, basically.
Right. And
I love it. I love the term loan sharking. It just immediately means you're the shadiest.
So I'll
character.
Lend you 100, but you owe me 200.
So, okay, yeah. So
yeah. I'll give you 100 now, but if you don't, I'm just gonna go ahead and break your kneecaps.
It is out there though. Like Jimmy Hayes looks for the Whitey Bulger story. Like there is some ties to it.
I believe the story, and I don't want to talk out of turn here.
Right.
Is that his dad was summoned by Whitey Bulger, and he's like the only guy ever to come out alive.
Right. You go and
like
see
he went
him
down to the basement, and he like when he I'm sure when he was driving over there, he's like I'm never coming out.
Right.
And somehow it was just a meeting, and he left with his life.
Yeah,
that like guy. How scary
so Whitey
is that?
Bulger sends you a text and says, "I want to talk to you." You're basically like,
yeah, like if you get caught, like if you
why not a like a flight to Mexico and out?
I'm trying to remember the what's the movie?
Well, remember Donnie Brasco?
That's Donnie Brasco. It's the same thing.
Pacino's like he's like, I know I'm walking, and then there's a lion in there, and they're flying down to Florida or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
Sonny Black or whatever was getting bumped up.
What I'm saying is like. That Irish Catholic, like in Boston area,
Well, Whitey Bulger's got a connection to Chris Nyland too.
Correct? Didn't he marry
Chris Nyland? Married like his mistress's daughter or something like that. Like,
now all of a sudden we're just making.
Maybe his wife or something. I don't know. Girlfriend. I gotta be careful here.
Yeah, exactly.
Now Whitey Bulger's gone, but still,
we've got to. We
somebody
can't just
knocked
be,
that guy off in prison.
We can't just make things up here.
Badly.
That's the thing. We can't just make things up.
No, but there is a connection to
Chris
Nyland.
I know there is, but we have to do our fact
check. Stop talking about it. I don't want to.
Exactly.
Like, bad-mouthing mob people.
We're not bad-mouthing. No. It's the truth.
You brought up the Irish Catholic. There's a referee, Rooney, in the National Hockey League, who did the finals. He's a fantastic ref. He's from Boston. I played with one of his younger brothers, Larry. There's 12 Rooneys.
Larry Rooney.
I played with him. Great guy. But the Rooney brothers from Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Just let that sink in.
Oh, I can. Alex from Vancouver texting in saying, you've got to post on Instagram the video when Jack says, quote, Jeff and Jamie, you're obviously retired professional athletes.
No,
would love to see Hayes' face.
You saw our reaction.
Yeah, we'll post that. The grappler will get that up. just slowly chipping away at my soul every time a guest comes on.
Yeah, all you got is Dwayne Casey.
No, and he has...
we got to get your buddy on. Do you think he doesn't want to?
I don't
to?
Think he wants to come on.
Who did we have on the
next
other day?
Week, though?
I think if they lost, he would have probably wanted to
Who
come
on. Who did we
on.
Have on the other day that said, I watched you on DP?
Yeah, Rich Eisen.
Oh, there you go.
That's right. All right, Ray Ferraro from Vancouver in about 20 minutes, and a goofy baseball story about Tampa, Montreal. We got to get into that.
Ridiculous.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Ray's coming up from Vancouver ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night in about 15 minutes. We'll get to this Jeff Passan report about the Rays exploring options in Montreal, and we'll touch on that in a 5 p.m. hour. There's a lot to get into there.
I just can't believe that story. Sharing a city. It's like you're either gone or you're not.
It is a bit weird.
We'll get into it in the 5 p.m. hour.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done our audience a disservice. We haven't touched on that Lenny Dykstra story that's been out all week about how he lost his dentures at a Jersey Mike's and went dumpster diving for 9 hours.
Did he find them, though?
He found them. He claims they're $80,000 dentures. And he was convinced he was going to get arrested because I guess he was going from one dumpster to the next. And he called in a buddy of his.
What do you mean? If you go to Jersey Mike's, it's a sub shop. You just go in the garbage.
That there could have been multiple dumpsters in the back.
I'm assuming it was like in a strip mall or something. And because I guess he took them out.
By the way, a Jersey Mike.
Outstanding sub.
You can't get better than that. Yes. Have you ever had one?
I have, and they're spectacular.
Are they in the
they're only in the States.
Yeah.
They make the best sandwich.
It's a spectacular sub. So I guess he took his dentures out and you know went to town on a sub and left and forgot them, and then someone came and cleaned the table and threw it out. So he went dumpster diving literally for 9 hours.
Wow.
He claims he was going from dumpster to dumpster, and he finally found it. And it was at dark. It was in at night, so I guess he had like a... Must have had his phone out.
Yeah, but
out
what happened?
I don't know.
Like he took a bite of a sandwich and his teeth came out? How do you not know?
He took them out to eat. I guess he took them out because he was worried about the Jersey Mike. I don't know.
Yeah.
That is a grit grinder. And that's someone that's committed to finding an 80,000 pair of dentures.
I like it.
Ray Ferraro coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.